with me, if you will, to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel. I'll bet you haven't had much preaching from the book of Ezekiel. But today is one of those living messages. You're going to see from the book of Ezekiel the prophecy of God fulfilled in your lifetime. And how wonderful it is to be able to concentrate on those prophecies. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter in you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man. And say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Ezekiel was the prophet of God, and he's making a promise of God. Now, the promises of God in the Word of God are those things that God says, and it's our job to believe it. That's why I have at the bottom of this slide, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Even though God said it, if you don't believe it, it's not settled in your heart. Do you believe the promises of God? This is one of those promises that now has been historically fulfilled. For believers, God's waiting for us to believe all the promises of God. Well, Ezekiel was a prophet of God. He prophesied from 593 to 568 B.C. That is before Christ, the time of Christ. And so Ezekiel was this prophet who's making this prophecy 2,500 years ago. This prophecy is not about, this prophecy that he spoke to the Jewish people seemed impossible. Because the persecution, the Jewish people were without a country. They had been scattered all over the world. And God was going to give Ezekiel a prophecy that would be fulfilled 2,500 years later. Now with God, God's not interested in short-term things. He is the God of eternity. 2,500 years to the Lord is nothing. To us, that's many lifetimes. And so it's a long time to us. But God was going to cause this prophecy to be fulfilled. And this prophecy is not about the resurrection of the saints. This prophecy is about a nation that is brought together after it had been disbanded, after the people have been scattered all over the world, and 2,500 years later, God fulfills this prophecy that he's making. So he's going to be talking to us about the restoration of Israel. And that's what this prophecy is all about. The Bible is full of prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. This is one that is fulfilled, and we're going to concentrate it on today so that we can believe in the other prophecies that God has also made. Father, please be with us now. Cause us to be alert, awake, and Lord, to be tenderized to your truth, and Lord, that we may understand how great you really are. Oh God, we pray that you would be with us now in these moments. Open our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So the prophet begins in this first verse of Ezekiel 37. And the Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. That is Ezekiel speaking. And carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And so Ezekiel here is giving us a description of how this prophecy was presented to him. And the Bible says it was by the hand of the Lord. It was by God's direction and taking Ezekiel and leading him out. Notice the Bible said he was carried, that God carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley. Now, that could mean a couple of different things, but because it says it was by the hand of the Lord, I prefer to believe that Ezekiel was picked up physically and was carried by the Holy Spirit to the valley where these things are taking place. Now, it could mean something else because it says he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. It could mean that Ezekiel was carried away in his thinking to envision these things to happen. So whichever you prefer is fine, but God carried him out. For me, it's not a big thing that the Holy Spirit carried him away. I got on a jet plane and flew from Chicago to South Korea, and then got in a plane there in South Korea and flew to Cambodia on a missions trip. I had perfect confidence that when I got in that plane, it was going to carry me to South Korea. And then that when I got in that plane, I had perfect confidence that it was going to carry me to Cambodia. Would I have any doubt that God could pick, if I believe in an airplane, couldn't you believe that God could transport somebody and take them. I mean, we have lots of examples in the Bible, and we could spend the rest of our time going over all of them, how that people were carried away in the Spirit, and that God transported them to other places. So I don't think that that is a big deal at all for me to have the faith that that happened. In any case, God was revealing to the prophet Ezekiel this prophecy. And he took him by his own hand, carried him by the Spirit, and it says that it set him down in the midst of the valley. He went to this place that was a valley. Now think of this, if you will, like our California Death Valley. As a matter of fact, I have a quote from one of the commentators that said this. Back in 1849, Lewis Manley and his partner by the name of John Rogers crossed Death Valley in California to bring back supplies to the stranded Bennett Arcane Party. The Bennett Arcane Party had mistakenly wandered into Death Valley and would have perished if these two men had not crossed the valley to rescue them. They were actually the first white men to cross this valley and gaze upon its grand scene of death and desolation. Few men have seen such sights, but what Ezekiel saw some 2,500 years earlier must have been even more bleak. He saw a vision of another Death Valley, more desolate, more fearsome, and more awesome than Death Valley, California. End quote. So think of this as that God took Ezekiel, put him down in this Death Valley that was full of parched bones, this place of death. Now the Bible here says it was full of bones. We don't see that much in America. When we see skeletons, you know, they're usually kind of things that are fantasy things. Or things that are set around Halloween and, you know, kid stuff. But this was a valley that was full of dead men's bones. And not just one or two. It was a valley full of them. They were scattered all over this valley. They were all over the place. Now, Diane and I, when we made that trip to Cambodia that I was referencing a moment ago, we went into Cambodia on a missions trip right after the Khmer Rouge had been thrown out of Cambodia. They had killed millions of people in Cambodia. It was actually called the Killing Fields, if you've ever seen that movie about the Killing Fields. We were actually there. We walked through the Killing Fields of these mass graves that are full of dead men's bones. And there were actually bones that were sticking out of the ground. I mean, there were like leg bones and arm bones that are sticking out of the ground that you could see where the mass grave had been dug. And there were literally hundreds and hundreds of bodies that were in there. And then as we walked through the killing fields, above the ground, there were these stacks of skulls, stacks that were just piles of parched white bone skulls of people that had been killed by the Khmer Rouge that were now stacked up. And I tell you that as we walked through the killing fields there, it was a somber thing. It was not something, as we walked through on this tour, we were walking around these mass graves, and then we came to these piles, several piles of these skulls. And when you walked there, it was just breathtaking. It was like, ah, how could that have happened? It was a very somber thing. That's where the prophet Ezekiel was in Ezekiel chapter 37 of the Bible. And it's talking here about this valley. And you notice that it says it is full of bones. And the prophet goes on to say, and caused me to pass round about them. In other words, he did the same thing. Out of respect to the dead people, he went around the bones. He was respectful of them. I think most, just about anybody would be. And the Bible says that there were very many in the open valley. There were all kinds of bones. They were scattered all over that valley. And the Bible says that they were very dry. That is, they were parched because they were in this dry valley. They had been there for a long time, and they were parched white, just like the bones that we saw in Cambodia, were the very same way. And so the Bible goes, the prophet here, Ezekiel, now is going on to proclaim what happened, or what those bones were all about. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? So God then is speaking to Ezekiel the prophet, and he says, calls him Son of Man. In other words, he is saying to Ezekiel, you are a human, son. You are a son of man. You are a human being. And he asks him this question, can these bones live? They are bones. They are scattered all over the place, intermixed with other people's bones. They are all over this valley. And God says to the prophet, can these bones live? And the prophet says, oh Lord God, you know. In other words, he's saying, well, it's not humanly possible for those bones to live, but he's saying, but God, with you, all things are possible. So I don't know how to answer it. By the way, that's a good answer to give to God, because there are many things that we do not know. And so the scripture goes on to tell us what is the pronouncement of that prophecy. And so then God said to Ezekiel, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And so Ezekiel is supposed to speak to the bones. Now, when we went to Cambodia, I'll be honest with you, we didn't speak to the bones, because that would have been futile. It would have been futile for us to talk to dead bones. But it's not when you're speaking for God. And Ezekiel was going to be speaking for God about these bones. And so he said that God would breathe life into them as he speaks to these bones. They were dead bones, and he was going to be speaking to them. Let me just leave this prophecy for just a moment to say this to you as a believer, okay? People that are dead in sin are dead to the gospel. And so they are like those dry bones. And sometimes we are the ones that are called to speak to them. And it's not what we say or what we do, but what God does, just like what he did with these bones in raising these bones to new life. That's what God does in saving grace. Our job is just to speak like Ezekiel did. Now let's go back to the prophecy. And so he said that the dead bones were to hear the word of the Lord. God was going to do something miraculous here. And so Ezekiel tells what God will do to these bones in verse 5 and verse 6. And he says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. So Ezekiel says he's speaking for God to these bones. And he's saying to them, God will make these dead bones live. We're going to find out who the dead bones are. But he says, I'm going to bring these bones back to life. I'm going to bring from these bones that are scattered all over, I'm going to bring head bones and back bones and arm bones and knee bones and feet bones, and I'm going to bring all those bones together. And I'm going to bring back to life those bones. And he says in that verse, I will cause breath to enter in you, and you shall live. So God's going to do this miraculous thing, and the prophet here is prophesying that this is going to happen. And he says, I will bring life in these bones. Utterly impossible for men to do, but God can do anything. And so he is saying that this is going to happen, and he tells the prophet then, how this is going to happen. He says, and I will lay sinews upon you. Now, the word sinews is the medical word that we would be talking about for connecting tissue that connects bones together. And the muscle that connects bones together that makes bones functional and work. And so he then goes on to say that, and I will bring flesh upon you. That is, he says, I am going to bring the muscle and the fat that connects those bones and gives our body girth and gives our body development. And he says, then I will cover you with skin. And so God says to these dead bones, you're going to come together, then I'm going to connect you all together in a proper way, and then I'm going to cause you to have muscle and fat upon it, and then cover you with skin, because you're going to be revived, these bones. And so, and then he says, and I will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, this is something that only God can do. And so God is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel that he is going to do this miraculous thing. And then he presents that prophecy in the next verses. He goes on to say in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Can you imagine? In that valley, those bones start moving. They start flying. They start like a magnet that draws something to it. And those bones are all being are moving toward reconciliation together. And they are coming together. And the head bone, the neck bone is connecting, and the shoulder bones, and the rib cage, and the backbone, and the hips, and the knees, and the thighs, and the feet, and they're all flying together into this body that's being recreated together. And the Bible says there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. Those bones are rattling, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And God is doing this wonderful thing, and the prophet Ezekiel then says, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came, after they came together, then the connecting tissue is connecting those bones together, and the flesh came upon them. Their body started to take shape. And the skin covered them. But the Bible says, but there was no breath in them. So this dead bones came together, formed into a body, came together, but still was no life in them. So the prophet goes on to talk about the perfection of the prophecy, how that God was going to bring this back to life, this body back to life. Verse 9, then God said to me, Ezekiel talking, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so God here is talking about the four winds, or the four corners of the earth, and saying the breath of God is going to breathe life into these bones, that they are going to be brought to life. God has now miraculously brought them together, put them back together into bodies, and that they are together, and now God is going to breathe life into those bodies, and they are going to be they are going to come back to life after all these years. How many years did I say? It's been 2,500 years, and God is going to do that great thing. So he's talking here about, not about people, he's talking about a nation. He's talking about Israel. The Bible here is saying, Ezekiel is prophesying this, and you'll see it right here in the Bible. So it says, verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and those bones stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So it wasn't just one body or two bodies or three bodies. No, these were bones that were scattered over the whole valley, and it was like an army of people, that of bodies that were pulled together. And verse 11 says, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. No question about it. This is not the prophet here as he's speaking. There's no question about it. These bones are the nation of Israel. Israel had been scattered all over the world. Israel had been persecuted, and the people had been scattered everywhere. They had no land. They had no place. And so God was restoring or resurrecting a nation. And verse 11, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry. Israel said, we don't even think it's possible that we can ever be, that we can ever have a nation. The Bible says, they said, our hope is lost. They thought, there's no way that this can ever happen. But God said, it's going to happen. And they said, we are cut off for all of our parts. We are scattered all over the world, and we have no land, and we have no place, and we have nothing. There's nowhere for us to go. And God here is prophesying through Ezekiel 2,500 years ago that it was going to happen, and that God was going to give Israel, these scattered bones, Israel was dead. They came together as a body. This prophecy was that this body was going to come together, but it's still going to be dead. Then God was going to breathe life into it miraculously, and it was going to happen. So this is about the house of Israel, or the nation of Israel, and that God was going to bring them back to their land, and that they were going to be brought back. Verse 21 of that passage says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. Israel was going to be restored as a nation. That's what this prophecy is all about. It's all about Israel being being restored as a nation, God was going to bring Israel into their land again. And he said, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, and I will bring them into their own land. And that prophecy, this prophecy, has been fulfilled. And that's what is happening. And we see it in the headlines every day. The focal point of the world is the Middle East. Mm-hmm. The focal point of the world is Jerusalem. That's what God chose. And God chose that as a significant place by his own choice. And we see this prophecy. So Thomas Simcox said this, I'm quoting him, unlike flawed, weak, changeable humanity, the Lord's resolutions and declarations are sure and will come to pass exactly as he declares. Mm-hmm. The promises of God that are found in the Bible are true. God's word is true. And God proves that by prophecies that come to pass. This one is one that nobody can miss. And it came to pass. Israel was legally made a nation after 2,500 years. On November 29, 1947, the United Nations voted 33-13 with 10 abstentions to partition what was then called Palestine into two independent states, one Arab and one Jewish. On May 14, 1948, the British evacuated Palestine, and Israel declared their independence for the first time in 2,500 years and became that nation that God revived those dry bones. Now, let's look at what happened. Let's see how that happened. Today, Israel's Jewish population is over 6.5 million people. In 1949, that was the year after Israel became a nation, until 1950, Operation Magic Carpet occurred, and 49,000 Yemenite Jews returned to Israel. You see how the dead bones are coming back? How that the nation is coming together? It didn't stop there. In 1951, Operation Ezra and Nehemiah 114,000 Iraqi Jews from another part of the world came back to Israel, and 30,000 Iranian Jews came back to the nation of Israel. That's why we have a nation of Israel. The Jews kept returning to Israel just as Ezekiel prophesied. And in 1968 until 1986, Russians returned, 267,000 Soviet Jews returned to Israel. Israel continues to grow and to be restored. 1985 to 1986 was Operation Moses, when 6,500 to 8,000 Ethiopian Jews returned to Israel, just as Ezekiel prophesied, because it was now a nation. It was revived. It came back to life. It happened as God could only make it happen. In 1991, Operation Solomon, 14,300 some Ethiopian Jews returned to Israel. And Israelis have returned, have continued to return from all over the world, just as Ezekiel prophesied and as God promised would happen. So Jeremiah 16:14 says this, another prophet, Old Testament prophet, says this, therefore behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that there shall no more, it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands whither they had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Do we understand that what's going on in Israel today has prophetic circumstances from years and years and years and years ago? And that's what the prophecies are all about. This is about what God did, and Israelis have returned just as God promised, and Jeremiah says it's going to continue to happen because God brought them back to life. It was the miracle of God. It was the fulfillment of the prophecy. Israel will recognize, and not only that, but Israel will one of these days worship and recognize Christ as the Messiah. That's from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 12 and verse 10. Listen to this. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They are the ones. It was the Jews who crucified Jesus. And now the Bible is saying that the one whom they pierced, they will come to him. That will be during the millennial period, during the thousand-year reign, when Jesus comes back to this earth. And God then promises to never hide his face again from Israel. Ezekiel says this in chapter 39, verse 28. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there, neither will I hide my face any more from them. For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. This is God's word. And this is a promise that we see God has fulfilled in our lifetime. It's undeniable. He took Israel, who had been scattered like dead man's bones for 2,500 years, and in 1948, the miracle of God caused Israel to be restored as a nation. Now, all of the other promises of God, all the other prophecies of the scripture then, are true. Because God keeps his word. And God says this, all who will come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, to believe on him and to receive him as your Savior, just as he said to Israel that you will one day, those dead bones scattered all over that valley, they will come to life. And they did. And Jews have come back to Israel. And that's why they continue to come back to Israel. And God says, just as that's true, if you come to me, you come to Jesus, and believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, and allow him to do that cleansing work of his blood in your life, you can be transformed. God will save you and give you eternal life. No question about it. Don't ever have to doubt about it. The Bible says you will have eternal life in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't made that decision, that's the promise of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Maybe you say, that just sounds too easy to me. Well, listen, God had to make it easy so that anybody could make that decision. So that people who are special needs people, that don't understand things in complex matters, so that they could go to heaven. God made it so that everybody could believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. If you haven't made that decision, you can settle it with God. You can come to Christ as your Savior. And the Bible says He will in no wise cast you out. You say, I'm too bad. I'm not good enough to make that decision. No, no, no. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And anyone who will believe on Him and receive Him as their Savior, He will take you in as His own child, and you will become that child of God. By simply saying, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I can't get to heaven any other way except by way of Jesus and what He did in dying on the cross for my sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again from the grave. And I believe that He is the Savior of the world. If you haven't made that decision, will you make it? Will you settle it with God? Will you believe on Him and let Jesus be your Savior? And when you do, like those dead bones that God made into that nation impossibly, God will do that transformational work in you of saving you and making you a new person in Christ, and will do that wonderful work of God. I'm glad that some 60 years ago I made that decision and invited Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I've never regretted it. And I'm sure that you won't either. If you haven't made it, come to Jesus. Let Jesus Christ do that work of God in you. Oh Lord, we thank You for these moments today. Thank You, oh God, for Your promises that are true, but, Lord, that are also the miracles of God that are historically accurate. And for somebody, oh God, who's not yet made that decision, may today be that day of illumination where their mind and their heart is illuminated to the truth of God. And, Lord, may this be the beginning of them coming to You as their Savior. Oh God, I pray that You would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we're going to sing a song in just a moment. If you would like to talk with me afterwards about that decision and how to make that decision, I'd be glad to talk with you. Let's stand together and we'll sing.